Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that as we are together, Lord, we come to your word. Lord, you minister to us freedom, power, life, everything that we need. We thank you, Lord, that in your word we find all the direction that you want to give us. Lord, in your word, Lord, we had the victory, Lord, that you brought to us. We just give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord. For we know, Lord, that you made such a big difference in our lives. Lord, not just now, but forever. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, faith. Fighting the good fight of faith. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to continue to what we started a bit last week in terms of realizing how we can enable the Lord to manifest himself in our behalf. As we have the right attitude and take the right position so that we can connect with him and we can receive. Because without connecting with him, the source of the solutions or problems isn't there. So we need to connect with him. We need to exercise our faith. And really, you know, people struggle many times wondering if they have faith or they don't have faith. And if, you know, the bottom line is, are you born again? Anybody's born again here? Okay, so if you are born again, you have faith. Because you cannot be born again without faith. And being born again is the biggest miracle that can happen in exercising your faith. So that's the big change, the biggest change, bigger than any even physical breakthrough or manifestation or anything else. You know, being born again, you are a new creation. And so the whole thing is of God. And so for that, that took the whole, everything that Jesus did for that to happen. Everything that Jesus did for that to happen. And so, you know, we base ourselves on what he did, and so we trust in our trust in him. We just allow and participate and manifest the power of God in our life to bring about the change that needs to be taking place in our spirit, which is actually the most important part of us. Now, the other parts, body and mind or soul, you know, they're not as important as that, but they're just critical for us to operate in this world. And even later, because we are going to have both a body and a soul even afterwards. And they are combined to our spirit, but they need to be trained. They need to be developed and changed, because that does not happen necessarily the moment when you're born again. And that is all a process that takes place. So, but if you are born again, you have faith. You have the basis for having anything that God wants to give you. It's just for you to apply it, for you to apply your faith and agree and connect with God to be able to receive. So what we saw last week was how important it is for us to praise and worship the Lord. It's by worshiping him, by praising him, by acknowledging him, that we get to the place in which the manifestation happens of the impact or the results of our faith. You see, it's a question of believing his word and acknowledging what he has done. Okay, so praises, what I said last week, releases the supernatural intervention of God in our life. Okay, this is very important too, and praises express, it's a way of expressing our faith and our trust in him. See, it's a question, it's our reaction, it's our response to his promises and what he told us and what he wants to do in our agreement with what he wants to do for us to be able to appropriate what he wants to manifest in our life. You know, many people think that they have to convince God to fulfill his promises. And God doesn't need to be convinced because he made them to us. The one that needs to be convinced is ourselves. So we have to get to the place in which we believe what God said to be able to manifest what he wants to do in the first place. It's not that we have to kind of push or force or trying to, you know, entice God to do the things that he promises. You know, if you promise something to somebody, okay, and you meant it, the person doesn't have to come to you begging and asking and trying to get you to do what he said you were going to do. If you were honest in the first place when you made the promise. So if you, if that's your position, well, God, for sure, he was meant what he was said, that he, you know, his word is true, and he meant what he says. So we don't need to convince him about fulfilling his promises. We need to accept that that is the truth, and we have to line up ourselves. In our spirit, is already lined up if we're born again. But in our soul and in our body with what he said. And so we had to agree with him and we had to take a position of receiving it, which is the position in which we are grateful for what he has done. We believe it and we trust him and we just receive it. So that's the process that has to take place. We don't need to convince God. And sometimes even the way the Bible is translated, we're going to see some scriptures, seems like, you know, by because of the words that they were used, that we had to be there begging God about things that he said he wanted to give us. When instead, we already have it. Okay? So, the basic scripture that, you know, in a way, deal with all this topic is in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. See, actually, all the book of Hebrews is an expression of what Jesus did and the new covenant and the way is going to be manifested for us. And this is a component that is, you know, reflect what we were talking about. Verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 13 says, therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In all this scripture, all the word, practically each word there is critically and is important for us to understand. And that reflects what we had to do to actually manifest or to actually, you know, get the manifestation of the promises of God. Okay. First of all, that we continually offer. You see, it's a position, you know, if we are in Christ, our position with God is always in a connection with him. So we continually are going to be in this attitude. And this attitude has to do with us, okay, continually offering this sacrifice of praise. The fact is, a sacrifice sometimes is because sometimes we may not feel like doing it. You see, there is an effort because the circumstances or our soul is reacting to the circumstances instead of reacting to what God said. And so may affect our mood and our feelings. But here it says that we have to continually offer a sacrifice of praise. So even when we don't feel like it, that's the time, that's even the most important time for us to do it. Because at that moment, our soul has the tendency to separate us from God. Because we are there looking at the circumstances, affected emotionally by the circumstances, and we feel separated from God because those things affect the way we feel. And looks like those are in front of our face and God is far away, which is not the case. So we had to move out of the mood, move out of the situation, and start praising God, because as we start praising God, what happens is our mood changes. And we start to get ourselves in a position closer to God. Because if we are praising Him, essentially what we are saying, the attitude we are taking is that He is there to help us. He is there. We connect with Him. We get closer to Him. Okay? So the sacrifice is something that we have to bring to Him. Okay? So, and this has to come, the sacrifice is not just a quiet, a silent thing. It says it's the fruit of our lips. So it has to come out of our mouth. See, our words are important. Not just our thoughts. Our thoughts are important because that starts there. But if it stops there, there is not a completion in the physical. You see, your body is not participating in the process. You have to get everything that you have, love your God with all your heart, soul, body, and soul, everything you have, move toward God. And so your words are important to manifest, to bring about the manifestation of God's promises. Even before you have to essentially start believing it and receiving it and expressing it before you get it. You know, giving thanks to His name, or you know, the other explanation that I gave you is really could be translated acknowledging His name. And really, acknowledging His name means, you know, acknowledging everything He has done for us. Often, you see, it says very often says that we have to confess the name of Jesus. But confessing the name of Jesus is not a magical formula, it's a question of understanding what you are saying. And relating to what He has done, everything that, see, God has different names for represent His character and what He does. And by this name, we can, as we express that name, and we just not as a formula, but as an understanding of what we are saying is God is going to deal with us in a certain way. If He's the Lord that healeth us, you know, Jehovah Rapha, well, that means that we expect Him to be healing us because this is what He said He would do and that's what He promised for us to do. Okay, so that's where we start. And what we see, you know, that as we acknowledge His name, what we do essentially, you know, we activate Jesus' ministry today to intercede for us because we go through Him and He goes to the Father in our behalf so that He can fulfill the things that the Father said He would do. So confessing the name of Jesus is an important component. And it's not just a question of, see, there is power in Jesus' name. You see, in Jesus' name, Jesus gave us the legal right to use His name. See, God operates on a legal basis on certain things. See, the forgiving of our sins is achieved through a legal transaction. It's not something that He just made up. He developed a process by which He legally can set you free from your sins. And that is through death, because that was the established, not your death, Jesus' death. So you have the legal right to claim forgiveness. But not only you have the legal right to claim forgiveness, then you have the legal right to receive forgiveness. And that depends completely on you, the second part, because receiving is determined by your faith. So you can be there, and Jesus has done everything that needs to be done. And you even say, go through the sinner's prayer, but you don't believe what you're saying. Nothing happens because of your belief. So when you do it, and you do it in the right way, what happens is actually you should feel forgiven. That is the manifestation of your forgiveness. You know, some people go around and say the sinner's prayer 10,000 times, and they always feel around guilty. Well, evidently, there is a problem with their experience. There is a problem with what they are doing. There is a problem in applying their faith, believing what God said. Nothing is different with healing. It's exactly the same thing. The only thing difference there is the fact that sometimes the symptoms are there. And we look at their symptoms instead of looking at what he has done. Are you following me? Amen. Okay. So we have the legal right. See, in a way, see, Jesus gave us the power of attorney to use his name. See, that's what the power of attorney is. You know, somebody has the right to make decision for somebody else and to implement them in a legal way. We have the right, in Jesus' name, to do a number of things. All right? We have the right to be forgiven. And so to go around forgiven. Okay? We have around to pray in Jesus' name. Okay? That means that when we pray, we are not praying. Jesus is praying because we have the power of attorney in that area for him to do, for us to do what he will do. Okay? Scriptures, for example, in John chapter 16, verse 23 says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. See, we don't need to go and say, Jesus, do it. We are not asking God anymore. Most assuredly, and that's very important, that's a strong statement. I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, and he gives us, you know, it's not a formula, it's a pattern in which we operate. Okay? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you, and that's it. Now, evidently, we had to trust. We had to believe in the name. We had to believe in the authority and the power that the name has, because it's not because we ask, it's because we ask in his name. So if we don't get the answer, it's because we don't believe in the name. He will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy will be full. Or may be full. So you see, this is what God has planned for us. That's the way it's implemented. It's implemented by faith, by believing in what Jesus has accomplished, so that, and the fact that he has given us the power of attorney, a legal ability to claim that before God. Are you following me? So there is a legal basis for which we obtain things from God. It's not because God one morning feels like, oh, today I'm in a good mood and I'm going to heal you. or I'm going to forgive you. Anyone that goes before God and says, you know, I believe what Jesus has done, is forgiven, and he applies his faith. Everyone that needs healing and go before God and say, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, should be healed. It's not for just some. It's for everybody. Okay. So that our joy may be full. See, God wants us to be happy and joyful. Wants us to receive. I mean, if you don't receive, your joy is not going to be full, is it? And this is really a promise. I mean, this is on top of the other promises that shows us how to receive those promises. So we have given the power of attorney to pray. We are given the power of attorney to cast out demons. I mean, with the forces of darkness, we are more powerful than they are because Jesus is more powerful than they are. You know, Matthew 16:17 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. I mean, they're not going to follow if you don't believe. Okay? In my name, they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. See, if you don't believe, you're not going to speak with new tongues. If you are not believe, you're not going to cast out demons. They will take up serpents, and they will drink any deadly thing, and you shall not by mean hurt them. Hallelujah. See, that is dealing with the power of darkness. You know, lots of believers believe more in the power of Satan than the power of God. Because they go around always afraid that something is going to happen. And they are to be there praying all the time that something is going to happen. It's not going to happen. Oh, pray for me, you know, I'm taking a trip. Oh, pray for the, you know, when in reality, what we should do is believe that we are protected. We should read the Bible about God's protection over his children. And get straight our ideas about what God is wants to do and what God is doing already. But to receive it, you have to do it by faith. Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18, you know, Jesus came and said, spoke to them and said, all authority and power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. See, that authority is the legal authority that we have received. He wasn't afraid of anything. You see, he came to reestablish the dominion that Adam had before the fall. He came to reestablish the position that Adam had before he sinned. If we are born again and we exercise our faith, we should manifest the same degree of dominion over the circumstances around us. The way he did when he walked on earth. Now, evidently, sometimes we have some difficulties in these areas. And with, so this is where if we learn to continuously connect with God. We have to be in Christ. Continually be connected with him. Continually, the best way is for us to pray without ceasing, to worship without ceasing, to praise without ceasing. So we have to, this has to be an habit. We have to be something that we get so used to do that is the natural thing to do. For us, that's what we do. Instead of fearfully going around, expecting something and looking, you know, for something to happen, we should be walking in confidence and faith that God protects us. There are many scriptures, many verses all over the Bible showing that. You know, if you just read Psalm 91, okay? That's enough to and believe it. I mean, you can read it 2,000 times and not believe it doesn't do any good. So you have to believe Psalm 91. You shouldn't be any afraid of anything. It deals with all the different situations. and end up with a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hello? So this is really what we should expect if we are connected in Christ. If you are believing. Fear should be not in our vocabulary or our life. So last week I gave you a praise challenge. Anybody try to implement that? And what happened? Feel better. Okay. Did you find sometimes difficult to do it? All right. That you should expect. The flesh doesn't like to do that. You see, that's why we had to develop the habit of doing that. So this is, I want to talk today about developing an attitude of gratitude or a habit of praise. Okay? See, I remember, you know, some of you may know, Brother Lawrence was in 1600, was a soldier that had an encounter with God and became a monk. And when he became a monk in this big monastery, they put him to wash dishes. And he hated to wash dishes. And he was, that's the only thing he did because he was not educated. You see, he didn't have any theological background. So he was there washing dishes all day for everybody else. And he just hated it, the whole thing. And so he started to complain with God. He was washing dishes and talking with God and complaining about the fact that he had to wash the dishes. And he kept washing dishes, so he kept complaining and kept talking with God. The thing is, you see, after a while you talk with God, you know, some things start to happen. You know, he talks back to you. And so things start, you know, essentially he developed the ability to be in God's presence no matter what was going on. And because of being in God's presence and talking with God, he acquired lots of wisdom. And he was, gone after by even highest people in the clergy to find out things, what to do. Now, you know, there is a book by him, you know, The Practice of the Presence of the Lord or of God. And I don't necessarily agree with everything he said, but, you know, you have to consider the fact that that was 1600. Okay? Understanding was limited and his background was limited. But nevertheless, just, you see, it's not our theology that is critical. It's our relationship that is critical. And sometimes, you know, a good relationship with poor theology produces good, better results than good theology without good relationship. And this is a typical example. So what I'm saying to you is the fact that when we, okay, connect with God, and we are in his presence, God has the way to minister to us in a way, this is, you see, that's the way to receive anything from him. You cannot receive something from me if you are not in my presence. One way or another, we have to connect. It's the same thing with God. We have to connect with him to receive from him. You know, in Psalm 22, verse 3 says, you know, but you are holy, talking about God, you know, enthroned or indwells in the praises of Israel, or in the praises of his people. You see, when we start praising God, God's presence, God indwelling is right there. And because it's right there, then we can connect with him, we can hear him. We are not caught up with our circumstances. We are caught up with God. Hallelujah. You see, that's the example we gave, I gave you last week, you know, with the Israel going around fighting with those three armies, and then, you know, going around Jericho, you know, saying, you know, praise the Lord, his mercy endureth forever. I mean, that was not really a complicated thing to do. But, you know, it was a pretty simple thing to actually do. Anybody can do that. A child can do that. But the impact, see, they won battles by simply saying it's just a short sentence and continually going around saying it. What battles do you have? Are they battles, those these battles as big as those battles there? Three armies, much, you know, with hundreds of thousands of people, they're attacking a small nation. Seems to me that no matter what the situation is for us, it's much, it should be easier to do. So even just simply say, praise the Lord, his mercy endureth forever, and keep going around saying it all the time, you know, is going to produce some results. See, God made things in such a way. Consider this. You know, God made things in such a way that is the easiest way for anybody to do and to receive from God, from him. I mean, to be saved, you don't have to go through an initiation process there and to do just the only thing you have to say, I believe what Jesus did, and just simply believe. Here, battles were won simply by going around and saying, praise the Lord, his mercy endureth forever. We have a whole book of praises. Just open the book of Psalms and just to see how many places, how many times there are things that are expressed to God to put us in a position to receive. It's, I mean, talking about God being good, being merciful, being gracious to us. But we had to believe it. You see, and to believe it, we had to start seeing it. And to start seeing it, we had to get the information someplace, which is in the Bible. And then you start experiencing it. Because when you start doing it, you see, before you get something, you had to do something. I mean, this is also true in the physical. You know, you can't do anything, expect to happen to you without doing anything. So if you want to do something in the physical, you, for example, if you want to go home, you have to go. All right? It's just that you are not going to be translated that way. Okay? So that's the thing that has to happen as well and spiritually. Spiritually, you have to believe that what he said is true, and you start to agree with it, confessing it, and start thanking him about it. So this is why the attitude of praise and thanksgiving is very critical for us. You see, you know, the carnal mind, Romans 8:7 says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Indeed, it cannot be. So you see, this is why the carnal mind doesn't like you to praise. You know, make you feel like, I don't feel like doing it today. This is why you have to break through that. See, that's what opposes. See, the carnal mind's enmity unto God. So really the idea is that he wants, that your carnal mind want to stop you from receiving from God. And so what you have to do is the opposite of what your carnal mind wants you to do. Okay? See, really, when you don't feel like praising is the time you have to praise even more. Because, you know, when you are praising, you are a doer of the word. You see, that's when you are a doer. You see, so what am I doing? Praising the Lord. You see, the word says to praise him. The word says to believe him. See, when you start praising the Lord, you know, even if you don't start when you don't believe it and you have a problem, you end up believing it after a while. See, I talked to you about last time about the law, that we find easier to act into believing than believing into acting. Okay. You know, in take for example Psalm 103, you know, at the beginning it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit. You see, he's talking to his soul. Evidently, why we should talk to our soul. I mean, you don't feel like praising, you praise. Because we are in control. You see, we can control what our soul is going to do. And we have to make our soul do what God says to do. And so when we start that way, then we move into the, you see, we tell your mind what you want it to do. So that your body is going to do it as well. Okay, so he says, forget on all his benefit, who forgives all your transgression, your iniquities. You see, often what we do is that we remember them all. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. See, the enemy wants us to remember all the mistakes we made before we were saved. And he's going to bring them to our memory to accuse you if we take it. See, the thing is, we have to refuse to take it, because if you believe what he's saying, what you do is not believe what God said. God said you are forgiven. And you believe the devil says, you know, look at you, what a mess you are. That's dead. The guy there was dead. He's dead. He's finished. He's gone. He's not there anymore. Amen. You know, the same thing is who heals all your diseases. See, you have to expect for God to heal all your diseases. And so you start praising even before you see the manifestation. Who redeem your life from destruction. And you see, this is, he puts you together instead of taking you apart. Okay? Who crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies and satisfy your mouth with good things. You know, the verse that says there in verse 6 says, the Lord execute righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. I mean, who are those who oppress? The one that the devil oppresses people by the lies that he says. So Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So he exercises righteousness, you see, on the basis of righteousness that we have received because Jesus' death. And justice, because he paid, so we do. You see, the legal component of the atonement, the legal component of our deliverance from sickness, from iniquities, from everything is established, and we had to enforce it. And he wants to do that. But the only way he's going to be able to do that is by our faith when we start, bless the Lord, O my soul. And we start blessing the Lord. So my suggestion, this should be a habit, a fixation that we should have about praising the Lord and worshiping him. We should do it all the time. We should go around praising the Lord, and, you know, quietly if we, you know, are in a place that we cannot do it, loud when we can. And when we have an opportunity, do it. In public or not. See, praising the Lord is an attitude of positive attitude, an attitude of faith. Okay? It's the opposite of an attitude of fear. See, faith is not the opposite of unbelief. Because unbelief is always believing something. Okay? Unbelief is believing something contrary to the word of God. But fear is actually not, is the opposite. You see, the annihilate reduces to nothing your belief in the word of God. So it's counteracting your faith. So we should not experience fear. If we experience fear, there is a problem with our faith. Or at least, there is a problem with us that we are yielding to fear instead of yielding to faith. We should refuse to fear, to be fearful. We should take a position in which we refuse to be fearful. Hallelujah. You know, there are so many scriptures. You know, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So when we have fear, that means we are not in union with Christ. We're talking about being in Christ here, isn't it? This is when the manifestations come. This is when we receive things. This is when we are in a position to connect with God. Okay? And that's why there are so many scriptures, you know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, for example, verse 16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks or be grateful. That's another way of translating that. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You see, when you are in Christ Jesus, this is the will of God for you. So lots of people say, what's the will of God? Well, it's pretty simple. Do that, you are in the will of God. I mean, all the other parts are going to come along with it. Because when you are in the will of God, and you are doing something in the will of God, then he's going to communicate with you to express the other things that you need to know. Otherwise, you are never going to get what you need to know. You know, there are, again, it was mentioned in Psalm 91. You know, this is aside. In the Torah, which was the instruction for the Jews give to, the Pharisees give to the Jews, okay, there was a statement there. It says that if you need healing, every day you should read Psalm 91 seven times. And you will be healed. You see, they use the formula in this case, okay? But that they were not born again. But it was working for them. If it was working for them, it should work even much better and more easily for us. Okay, let me continue here. You know, the other scripture about being, for example, Philippians 4, 6, you'll be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication. You know, the word supplication there, it's a funny, I don't really like it because, you know, if you are supplicating, it's like you're begging God for something. This is not what the word there really means. It means, you know, to request. So you pray and request what you want, because, and you base your requests on the basis of the promises of God. Okay? Okay. Where am I? Yeah. Request with thanksgiving. You see, make a request and say, thank you, Lord. You promised that. I receive it. I believe it. Okay? Amen? And let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And the idea is that, you know, we believe it. We are thanking him because we are thanking him. It's not just thanking him with our mouth. We just get into thanking God about it. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. You promised that. Your word says, I stand on that. I believe that. I receive it, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I just praise you. And just, you know, get going until you get peace about it. And when you lose peace, keep going again. Okay. All right, I did this already. All right. One of them, you always start always with our thoughts. And so it's important that we take charge of our thoughts and we start controlling what we think. Okay, this is really, you know, allow us to think and focus our thinking on the right things. You know, for example, in Psalm 19:14 says that the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You see, this is what happens. We take that position. We take that position, and what we say and what we think about, or maybe the other way around, what we think and what we say line up with the Word of God. And He is going to be our Redeemer and our strength. Because that's where we get our strength from. Okay? Now, another one to read to you. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, and there is virtue, and there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. So you see, that's the way you start. That's the way, you see, you have to start controlling what you think, your thoughts. And then becomes natural to control your mouth. If you don't control your thought, there is no way you can control your mouth. Okay? So you have to start catching yourself when you are going in the wrong places. Okay? When you are starting to think things that are not in line with the Word of God. When you start thinking of things that are sinful, or things that are, you know, fearful, things that are negative, things that are criticizing, things that are putting people down, putting yourself down. You have to start instead thinking about things that are building you up. And you do that just simply by reading the Word. You see, you know, you read in the Bible what it says about you, the way God sees you in Christ. So as we see that and you understand that and you start experiencing that, because after a while, you know, if you are in disagreement or in not alignment with what the Word says, then you say, well, I need to change what I'm looking at. I need to change what, you know, the devil comes to you and accuses you. You know, you're just there. You remember what you did that time, you know? And you say, no, forget it. I'm not going to think about that even. I'm forgiven. I presented that to the Lord. It's gone and it's finished. And I receive freedom from that. The more careful you are about that, the less condemnation you're going to experience, because you are connected with the Word. You are connected with the truth. You are connected the way God sees you. And you line up with God's Word because you are believing it. And that's going to be manifesting it. Amen? Okay. Okay, one more thing, one more position you can take, okay? See, daily, you can make your day in such a way that you give glory to God instead of giving glory to the enemy. You see, becomes more than just your own thing now. You are expanding this and you get your ability to give glory to God into the picture. How do you do that? Well, there are a number of scriptures that we can see that. For example, in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9, says, this day is holy. So if you want to make a holy day, I mean a day in which God's presence is there with you, okay? This day is holy to the Lord, your God. So you can decide to make your day holy. Do not mourn nor weep. That means don't complain. Okay? This is what Israel did all the time. They were complaining and God got filled up with them. And they would, you know, they got in trouble with them. So this instead, you see, that's the opposite. Instead of falling in the flesh and allowing you to speak what your flesh says, you start making, no, I'm going to give glory to God. You see, that's a part of loving God. Loving God is really making, okay, today I'm going to make this day holy and I'm going to give glory to Him. Okay. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept and when they heard the words of the law. You see, they were just, we cannot do it. All right? They were Old Testament. Okay. Then He said to them, go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portion to those to whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, that's why, how do you get the joy of the Lord? Stop complaining. Are you following me? See, stop complaining and start praising the Lord. You see, if you praise the Lord, you indicate that in a way or another, you believe that God is doing something. You're not praising the Lord just, oh, you're just great. You know, you can praise the Lord for something specific. That's much better than general. But when you start praising the Lord, that means, you know, your attitude toward Him is you are grateful to Him. And so because you are grateful to Him, you know, you are connecting with Him and you keep praising, you know, you just keep pumping yourself up. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. You want strength? Get the joy of the Lord. That means you don't get the joy of the Lord by being there quiet and meditative and says, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right? Is that clear? All right. So, that's it. That's it for today. See, today we can make the day, our day, holy to the Lord, receive some strength by just praising Him. Amen. So we are going to do that right now. Why not? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, your word, by your word, by your name. Lord, we have authority. By your name, Lord. We have the ability, Lord, to overcome. By your name, Lord, we are free. By your name, Lord, we are healed. By your name, Lord, we are set free from all the influences of the enemy. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, today. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. We give you thanks and praises, Lord, for all the things, Lord. We just rejoice in you, Lord. Again, I say rejoice in Jesus' name. Receive joy. Receive strength. Receive blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings, Lord, that are abundant, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy that endures forever, for everlasting to everlasting. The blessing around your children, those who fear Him and His children, Lord. We just praise you and thank you, Lord. We claim those blessings for us, our families, and our children, and anyone that related to us, Lord. Lord. In the name of Jesus, we just praise you and thank you. He wants to hear your voice. Praise you, Lord. 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 Worship you and praise you. We love you, Lord. We just give you glory and honor and praises, Lord. You are worthy. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood. Thank you, Lord, for making possible for us to be forgiven and to be healed. Lord, thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we were healed. And we just thank you about that. Thank you, Lord, that you gave our victory. And we can do all things in you to strengthen us. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to keep praising you continuously. And offer the sacrifice of praise unto your name. Being thankful to you. And acknowledging all the good things you have done for us. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.